much, ladies. The book of Psalms, chapter 78. Psalm 78 is going to be our text today for the message. We're going to read the first 8 verses. That's a little longer than what we would normally read, but that won't hurt a thing. And it's a good text, and I want us to get the entire first 8 verses, please, for our reading this morning. So if you find the book of Psalms, about halfway through your Bible there, Psalm 78. And let's stand together and honor the word of the Lord this morning, as we do always. And if you please join me on the even-numbered verses, verses 1 through 8 here of Psalm 78, okay? And we're reading this Maskil of Asaph here. He's the writer. He's the human pen. He wrote, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." I pray, O God and Heavenly Father, that we'll learn some things this morning from this passage that will be of immense help to us. Challenge our hearts, I pray, with the truth of Your Word. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for being here in our meeting on Friday night. In a wonderful way, all the presence of the Lord was felt. And now, thank You for the presence of the Lord this morning. And God, we look to You, and I just pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just have a meeting, but that we'd have a real helpful service, Lord, that our hearts would be touched. And as someone said this week, that I get something out of it that I can take home and practice, Lord. That's what we want. So speak to us this morning through Your blessed book. Bless the song, the music to our hearts, and the message to follow is my prayer. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Be seated.
I am running up the shiny way to glory. I am happy in my Savior as I go. And I love to tell the dear old gospel story, how the Savior came to earth below. I am running up the shiny way. I am running up the shiny way. Up the shining way, I Jesus, with me day by day, while I'm running up the shining way,
running up the shining way,
oh glory, glory, glory to the Lamb, the Lord has made me what I am. I have the victory day by day, while I'm running up the shining way.
Praise the Lord, I have the witness of the Spirit, that He saves and sanctifies me by His grace.
And shall not be buried until I inherit a mansion in that heavenly place.
Hallelujah, you may also have the blessing of salvation full and free while here below.
If you turn to God today and cease transgressing this wondrous secret you may know.
I am running up the shining, up the shining way. I am running up the shining, up the shining way. I Jesus with me every day, while I'm running up the shining,
running up the shining.
Oh glory, 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 glory to the Lamb, the Lord has made me what I am. I have the victory every day, while I'm running up the shining, what a shining way. What a joy
up the shining way I am running, running up the shining way. I, Jesus, with me day by day, while I'm running up the shining way,
running up the shining way.
Oh, glory, 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 glory to the Lamb. The Lord has made me what I am.
Made me what I am. I have the victory every day while I'm running up the shining way.
Was good. That was a happy song. I enjoyed that. Very good this morning. All right. I don't know. This could be our last Sunday morning on the subject of the Christian home. I don't have anything on my heart for next Sunday already, but if God wants to impress with something, then I trust that I'll be sensitive to that and obey His leadership. As I come to this Sunday morning, I would say this is probably the last one, number six on the subject of the Christian home. And we're going to talk about it as we get into this passage this morning. So we're going to pray, ask God to bless, and number six in our series of the Christian home. Now, dear Father, thank you for the good song, the music that touches our hearts, blesses us. I pray that you'll please now add your touch to the message. May we have something, Lord, from your book to take home with us that'll challenge us. And Lord, make us what we ought to be for your honor and your glory. Help us. Help every home represented in this room today. Even those, Lord, whose kids are already grown and gone and who have influence possibly over grandchildren, will you please give help to every heart? That's my prayer. There are those who don't yet have a home. They're still single or still a child's age or growing up into manhood or womanhood. But I pray that they will listen, that everybody can learn something, that the Spirit of God would have His way in our hearts. I commit the service to you. Ask for your liberty, Holy Ghost. Well, thank you in Christ's name and amen. The Christian home is a wonderful institution. You know there are only three institutions that God ordained as found in the Scripture, the home and the government and the church, okay? And the home was the first of those three institutions. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to live within the walls, the four walls of a house where God is acknowledged, the Bible is read and respected, Jesus is served, and godliness is practiced on a daily basis. Friend, if you got that going on in your home, you have a priceless treasure. No matter what size home you got, okay, no matter what's in it, possession-wise, if those things are going on, it's a priceless treasure. What a blessing when the Holy Spirit not only, listen to this, indwells each believer in the home, but the home itself is the habitation of the Spirit of God. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. Friend, when the Holy Spirit in the home has liberty, there are countless opportunities for Him to teach and influence those who live in the home. When His still small voice is not drowned out by the incessant babbling of some godless television show, much good, or some kind of filthy music that has some kind of devilish beat, much good can be accomplished in the hearts and lives of people who live in that kind of environment. And we tried to teach our kids, I'll say more about that this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. I believe, hopefully, we had the type of home that became, not only the Spirit of God dwells in us, but the house becomes a habitation of the Spirit of God. You know what I'm talking about? And He has the opportunity to help and instruct. Boy, you know, the instruction of a dad and mom is very important, but how much more effective is it when the Holy Ghost is behind it? See, that's what I'm trying to say. So if you've got that going on in your home, praise the Lord. Now, that is the subject of our text this morning as far as this passage in the Bible, the Christian home. Here it is. The Christian home has a cause. The Christian home has a cause. What is that cause? The cause is a godly seed. The cause is mentioned twice here in this passage. The cause is mentioned in verse number 4, and the cause is mentioned in verse number 6. The cause of the Christian home is the generation to come. The generation to come. And that's what God is talking about through His Spirit in these verses here. The cause is another generation. Wait a minute now. Not just another generation of youth who grow up to serve their own self-interests, void of truth, walking in the way of the world, not that kind of generation. We got enough of that out there in the world today. The cause is another generation of youth who acknowledge God and His Word and who walk in the truth and who don't veer to the right or to the left, but walk in the will of God. You know, there is much pleasure and there is much joy in the marriage relationship. Much. There is certainly wonderful, there is wonderful and holy physical pleasure inside the marriage relationship. Wonderful and holy physical pleasure. But listen, Mom and Dad, even that joy was not created by God to only satisfy a physical appetite. All right? That's all I'll say on that. I'll say this. The appetite itself, what takes place within the bonds of marriage, the appetite itself was created for the purpose of procreation and replenishing the earth. Not just with people, with a godly seed. With a generation whose heart was right with God. And that is the cause of the Christian home. You know, children, the Bible tells us, was it Psalm 127? Yeah, I think that's it. Psalm 127. The Bible tells us that children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. Now, Dad, Mom, husband and wife, I know you know this. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. But we have a cause in our home, with our home. Children are not for our enjoyment only. They are not for the purpose of fulfilling our own desires to have little ones. Those are normal and natural desires. But that's not the full purpose of children, just to make us happy. Children are for Him. Children are for His glory. And the children are for the purpose of perpetuating, listen to me, a people who love God, honor God, serve God, fear God, and praise God. That's the cause of the Christian home. Children aren't just for our pleasure. We have great pleasure from our children. You know that. But that's not the only thing that God gives them to us for. God, Dad, and Moms, you'll find this much, and I know some of you have found this true, in the process of rearing that kind of child, the kind of child that loves God, honors God, serves God, praises God, fears God, in the process of rearing that kind of child, you will find that there is no greater joy in seeing that child come to that place in their life. No greater joy. Now, you see God, you see the cause of the Christian home in verse number 4. Look at it here. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come. There's the cause. You see it in verse number 6, same thing, that the generation to come. So twice in two verses, you've got the cause of the Christian home. Now, I want you to see your Bible here. This psalm was given through the man Asaph. Do you see that? At the beginning of chapter 78, you see that word masculine, Asaph. Asaph was one of the leaders of David's choirs. A lot of musical choirs in those days. And Asaph was one of those leaders, if you will. He was a music man. He was our kind of Tom Thomason. Our kind of Rich McDonald, our kind of Dave Gardner, our kind of men, Tony Luco, the kind of men who are involved in the music ministry of the church here. He was a music man who loved God and kept his heart in a condition to serve God. And God gave us some scriptures through the pen of Asaph. Now, in this passage, Asaph gives us some, he gives us some insight about how to influence the generation to come. God has preserved this insight for you and me. And by the way, let me say this before I jump into it, that the Bible makes mention in other places of the sons of Asaph who served in David's kingdom. So obviously, Asaph did pretty well in the cause of the generation to come. So I want to give you three things here that I believe we can learn from this man, Asaph, what he's talking about here as far as the cause of the generation to come, how it pertains to the Christian home. Number one, I want you to notice that there was exposure. There was exposure. Look again at verse number 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. You see, Asaph was determined, watch it now, to expose the generation to come to the great past that was part of his heritage. There were so many wonderful truths about God that had been passed down to Asaph, And now Asaph was determined to expose those truths to his children, to the next generation. And I want you to notice what he thought should be passed down. He said we need to pass down God's praises, we need to pass down God's strength, and we need to pass down God's wonderful works. Those three things. Now, folks, I want you to think about this for just a minute. So many of the deities of false religions are harsh. They're cruel. They are demanding. And they consume their followers' devotion. They take their followers' devotion and they use it up, and the followers get nothing in return. But that's not true about the one and true living God. It's not true about the God that we serve. He is a compassionate, full of mercy and full of grace. He is a strong God, capable of wonderful works. And our children need to be exposed to how tremendous, how wonderful, how great our God is. That's the exposure I'm talking about. I've said before, it's children. Our children love heroes. And children love heroes who are stronger than reality. Very Superman. You know, can leap over a building with a single bound. Stop a speeding train. You know, I remember the first episode on TV years ago as a boy of Batman. I mean the old Batman, you know, where pow, biff, you know, boom. And even the Lone Ranger and all, you go back as far as some of those folks, you know, all of those people are bigger than life. Bigger than life. And kids just love it. They love Superman and Batman and the Lone Ranger and all these figures from that are superheroes and just bigger than life to them. But you know what's a blessing about God? You can't make Him bigger than life. Because He is bigger than life. He already is bigger than life. So let me ask you a question this morning. To whom or to what are our kids being exposed? Now you take analysis of your home, own home this morning. I'm not going to do that for you. I don't live where you live. But you take evaluation. You run a little self-analysis, if you will. To whom are your children being exposed? Who are they? Who's being talked about? Miley Cyrus? Is that her name? I don't even know her name. All this other junk coming out of Hollywood. Who are your kids being exposed to? Sports figures only? You know, it is obvious when I read the Word of God, and especially the New Testament, it is obvious to me that the Apostle Paul enjoyed sports. He did. He wrote about sports several times. And actually, those are God's words, aren't they? That came through the Apostle Paul. But he chose the Apostle Paul to pen those words, so that tells me. And God chose the words to fit the personality of the man to fit his words. I think, personally, that Paul loved sports. He wrote about it in several places. But let me tell you something, friend. Too much exposure to games and too much exposure to athletes and sports does not help to perpetuate a godly seed. And the truth of the matter, I think in this day and age, it's a detriment. It's a deterrent. We were at the prayer meeting the other night, and for the first session, we divided up into groups of three, but there was an odd number when it came to multiples of three. So Brother Caleb and I had a group of two, and we prayed together. And the first session was just a time to just thank God. And if you were here, God showed up in that first session. It was thick. All we did was praise God. Thank you for so many blessings, so many good things. Well, just two of us praying, Brother Caleb and I. We finished first time supposed to go to 11 o'clock. Excuse me. And we finished about 12 minutes till 11. So we're sitting in the front row down here. And I just, for some reason, the Spirit of God brought to my mind We're in the session of praising the Lord here, so I thought about Psalms 145, 146, 147, 148, 149, 150, the last five or six chapters of the book of Psalms. And so I just got my Bible, sat down here, and I read it out loud where Brother Caleb and I were sitting, and we got blessed, and we enjoyed that as we read about those Psalms that just praised the Lord. And I couldn't believe, I read it 100 times and never caught it. Psalm 147 and verses 10 and 11. Don't turn to it. Let me read it for you because we've got to roll on here. But here's what the Scripture says. Talking about God, He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. That ever jumped off the pages at you? He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. I don't think for one minute this is some kind of sordid, wicked that, you know, that we have to learn that God doesn't think men's legs are pretty. Men's legs aren't pretty. If yours are, you got a problem. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. You can't play. There is not a sport out there that doesn't require strong legs. You say you're anti-sports. Not a bit. I want to tell you something. What are you exposing the kids to? What are you setting up on the pedestal? It amazes me that down through the years, some independent Baptist people have been so fearful, paranoid about setting the pastor on a pedestal, but they'll take cocaine-sniffing, wife-beating sports figures and put them on a pedestal. Oh, that's smart. That works. I'm not asking to be put on the pedestal this morning. I never have asked for that. But I'm going to tell you, take a little analysis. Who are you exposing your kids to? You say, I don't like basketball, preacher. I'm a NASCAR. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. NASCAR. That'll get it. That'll get the job done. I'm serious. You know what? The Lord taketh pleasure in the next verse. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. Fear Him, that reverential awe and respect. Preacher, you say, I think you are overboard. Really? Overboard because I believe our kids need to be exposed to God. They need to be exposed to the praises of God, to God's strength, to the works of God's, you know, the work of God. Folks, our kids are going to grow up respecting somebody. They're going to grow up being exposed to someone. And I think the greatest one to whom they can be exposed is God. Just make sure that in our home we have the proper exposure. Asaph said, I'm not going to forget the great past and the praises of God and His wonderful strength and His wonderful works. And I'm going to take those things and I'm going to expose them to the generation to come. So who are you exposing your kids to? Who exposing your kids to? Years ago, we were on a teenage thing we were on, but I was with a group of teenagers and somebody. We were somewhere in something, and somebody it was some kind of museum or something, and somebody asked a question of the kids, you know, who would you like to spend the day with? I remember one of our teenagers spoke up and said, Johnny Depp. I know who Johnny Depp is. Johnny Depp. Well, who's Johnny Depp? I find out he's a Hollywood actor. Some stupid Hollywood movies. What? I'm going to spend the day with some goofball from Hollywood? Most of those guys are dropouts. They finished school because they could act, they could feign. And that's our Christian school. I can think of a whole lot of folks I'd rather spend a day with than some goofball from Hollywood. Who are you exposing your kids to? Through music, through TV, through what you're talking about? He's talking about exposure here. exposure. He said, I'm going to take the praises of God and His wonderful works and His strength, and I'm going to make sure that my kids, the generation to come, they get exposure to the things that are true about our God. But let me move on to number two. Not only was there exposure, I want you to look at verse number 5 and 6, there was disclosure. Disclosure. Look at verse 5 and 6. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel that they should make them known. Make them known. Look at verse number 6. Make them known. Might know them. Okay? Make them known. Might know them. Now, Webster's defines disclosure, watch it, as the act of making known. That's disclosure. The act of making known. Uncovering. Revealing. Now, what was to be disclosed is found in verse number 5. He said, a testimony in Jacob and a law in Israel. He said, make those things known to the children. Now, what's he talking about there? Well, if you cross-reference Psalm 147, verse 17, He showeth His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel. The object, the thing that was to be disclosed to the generation to come, the thing that was to be made known to them was God's word. So we're back to the subject of the Bible in our homes again. You say, I think we hear too much of that. I disagree. There's got to be disclosure. There's got to be the making known, the uncovering, the revealing of the Word of God. Now, let me ask you something, parents. How on earth do we plan to rear children for Him if we don't work at disclosing His Word to them? You say, that's the church's job. Really? Really? You know, a good church will seriously figure out how to structure their ministries to help disclose the Word of God to people, including the kids. And I want to say again what I've said before, what joy I always had and still do have when our kids would come home and talk about something that they had learned in Sunday school or junior church or a teen meeting. I always appreciated that. But friend, never did I ever transfer the responsibility of disclosing the Word of God to the church. Because that's not biblical. I appreciate the help, and I am grateful for the help. And believe you me, I needed the help. My kids have benefited from a good old local church ministry. But the disclosure of God's Word ultimately is mine for my kids. It's yours. Disclose to them the concepts of mathematics. That's good. Disclose to them the rules of grammar. That'll help. Disclose to them the facts of history. That's good too. Disclose to them the advantage of reading. Disclose to them the mysteries of science. But folks, do not neglect or leave out disclosing them the truth of this book right here. Disclosing them. Now, I'll be honest. I wonder how many adults in our membership, I'm talking about dads and moms, I wonder about how many dads and moms have a hunger for God's Word themselves. Because I want to tell you something, friend. It's hard for you to be excited about giving your kids something that you're not excited about. That's why it's easy for some of you guys to feed your kids a steady diet of sports. Because you love it. It's easy for some of you to feed your kids a steady diet of television because you love it. And to try to feed your kids a steady diet of the Word of God that you don't have any hunger for yourself. It's kind of hard to fake. Well, let's sit down here, kids, and let's learn something from the Bible. But, I don't know what, let's see, I don't know what, I don't know, yeah. That's helpful. Amen, Brother Angel. It's a little quiet, but that's all right. By the way, friend, I'm not preaching this in a mean spirit. I'm trying to preach it in a helpful spirit. A helpful spirit. I want to tell you something, friend. Before I just, you know, throw a fit, I'd ask the Holy Spirit, I'd let the Holy Spirit do a little examination in my heart and say, you know what? What is my relationship with this book? Does it excite me? Does it help me? Do you read it? Do you have any kind of relationship with it? You get excited about it, and you give it to your kids. You'll be happy to give it to them. You'll enjoy it. We've got the grandsons for 8 days again this spring. Max and Kyle. It's humongous. I don't know how in the world you young mothers are doing it. You forget what it's like to have little kids around. Mercy days. But we've had a great time. Oh, it's a lot of fun. And wouldn't you know it? Tomorrow, my wife has jury duty. All day. So guess who's got the two boys? And praying that the young one gets a good case of constipation. Amen. So, that's terrible, isn't it? I could handle it for my own kids, and I don't know about this. Lord, please help me. Oh, man. But with all the stuff, I filled the back of my Suburban with stuff. Basketball goal and cars and animals and games and stuff. Bags. Stuff. Keep two kids busy. And part of that was a little book. It's a little Bible story book. It's a blessing in my heart because it's been used. All right, boys, time for the Bible story. The little guy jumps and runs over where the book is, grabs it. They're used to it. Well, bless my heart, man. That blessed my heart, brother. Read a little story. David and Goliath and act out where the pillow, with the pillow, the stone, whop, and bam. Goliath goes down. Oh, it's a blessing. It's fun. It was fun when the little ones were at home. I'm not trying to be somebody fantastic. I'm not trying to be somebody super spiritual, but it was fun to disclose the Bible to those kids because I enjoyed the Bible for me. Does that make sense to you all? The exposure to the Word of God. Who are they to God in heaven? Who are they being exposed to? And the disclosure of God's Word. I'm talking about the cause of the Christian home is the generation to come. So you got the exposure to God and all things wonderful about Him. Then you got the disclosure of His Word and all that's in there for the young people to learn. And then I love this. I also see not only exposure and disclosure, but number three, I see closure. Closure. Look at verse number 7 and 8. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Now watch verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. There were some things that were handed down from generations past that the generations should to come should have closure with. I don't want to take everything from the generations that preceded me. Stubbornness and rebellion, a heart that was not right, a spirit that was not steadfast with God. You know, they didn't pass those things on to Asaph's children's generation. Folks, you understand what a blessing it is? You know, genetics cannot be changed, but character can. Physical characteristics are difficult to alter. If you got enough money, you can do that. Even then, it's kind of odd. I will forget one time on a hunting trip, we were eating lunch in a little hole-in-the-wall place out here in western Illinois. And the lady who came to serve us the food, she had a face that did not fit her. And we're just looking at, you know. I mean, she had the face of like a 20-year-old, but something was odd. Until she brought the food and set it on the table. And I mean, brown age spots and wrinkles all over her hand. I'm saying, I didn't point it out. I started doing that. The light comes on. She had a face then. She had the hands of I got age spots on my hand. And you guys got those on there. My hands don't look like the 20-year-old hand. And brown spots, more of them. Thinking, my gracious. Not 20-year-old hands. She had 55-year-old hands and a 20-year-old face. They don't go together. But if you got enough money, you can get that done. Physical characteristics are difficult to alter, but spiritual character can be transformed into what is pleasing to God and honoring to God. I just say, praise the Lord, we are not doomed to repeat the failures of the past. We are not doomed to follow in the footsteps of those who came before us, who didn't set their heart on God, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Just because we are their descendants from two or three generations removed does not mean that we are doomed to walk in spiritual failure. What a difference exposure and disclosure can have in a person's life. It can bring closure to a lifestyle not pleasing to God. That's what he said here. Y'all with me this morning? Understand that? There are people all over this room whose homes are different from the ones that they grew up in. Your character is different. Your life is changed. It's a whole new world. You have experienced closure concerning the old way, and you're walking in a new way today. Isn't that a blessing? You know, you can't ever remove anything that's happened in your life good and promising from the grace of God. But humanly speaking, I think my brothers and I, we trace back what we've been blessed with from God to our grandmother, who we call Meemaw, who grew up on the ridges in Tennessee near Cookeville. Poor, poor, poor. Not only poor in finances, but poor in character. Alcohol in the home. All of her sisters pregnant out of wedlock. All of them. Her daddy Jerd, my great-grandfather, murdered a man. No church. No Bible. She left home at age 14. 14. To go to Atlanta, Georgia. To find work. 14. And over the course of time, through a radio broadcast, got introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And ultimately got saved. Got into a church, got baptized, and started growing in the Lord, started reading her Bible. And then my mother came along, and then her brother, my uncle, came along. And now, three generations from her, Mom, YT, me, Tim, Tom, Amy, Melanie, David Chamberlain, who was over here, played the piano for Sounds of Faith Music earlier this year, the trio. He often plays for my cousin Melanie, who sings with her sister-in-law and who sings with her husband Marlon and his sister Divine at the Sword of the Lord meetings. Meemaw, Mom and YT, Terry, Tim, Tom, Melanie, Amy. Little two-year-old running over and getting the Bible story book. You know what happened? Right here, starting with Meemaw, there was some closure. She shut the door on some of that stuff. Wasn't that she didn't love her parents, but she shut the door on some of that stuff that wasn't pleasing to God. Shut the door on that. Boy, started passing down some mighty good stuff. Amen. Isn't that good, folks? That's what Asaph is talking about here. He's saying, man, you start with exposure and you expose your kids to how great God is, how tremendous. And you can't over-talk how great God is. You can't overstate how big God is. You can't over-exaggerate how strong God is. You can't talk too big about God. And you expose that to them. And then you disclose to them the wonderful things that are in this book. You shut the door on some things that maybe came from previous generations. I'll tell you what the problem is in some places. It's right there on point number two, where dad and mom, dad or mom or dad and mom, just aren't interested in the Bible themselves. It's hard to act like you're excited about something to your kids when you're not. Huh? I'm not being mean to you this morning. I'm trying to help the church. I'm trying to help God's people. The Christian home has a cause. Now here it is. A choice, a connection. God sets the solitary in families. The home is a construction project. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. The Christian home has a covering, that authority that God puts in place. The Christian home is built upon a covenant, the covenant of the marriage relationship. And the Christian home has a cause, and that cause is the generation to come. It all starts with Jesus Christ. It all starts with Him. God, this book right here, and the things that we learn from it. If this is the last message in this series on the home, I hope that your heart has been open to receive some things. Really, listen, hasn't been my opinion. I just tried to show you right here what this book says about it. On the Christian home. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our Father, You are so good to us. Thank You for loving us and thank You for being the kind of God that You are. Lord, please help our hearts to be excited about You. Help our hearts to be excited about Your book. Help us, dads, moms, us, the parents, God, help us, grandparents, help us to be excited about You and Your Word. And pass that on to the generation to come. Help us to have the right cause in our homes, please. We thank You for it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Preacher, something that was said in the Bible, from the Bible this morning during the course of the message spoke to my heart. Whether it was an encouraging thing or the Spirit of God used it to prick my heart, something that was said spoke to me. Pray for me. I heard, I listened, and the Spirit of God spoke. Would you raise your hand this morning all over the room? Thank you. I appreciate that. God bless you. Amen and amen. All right. Would there be anybody here? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? I don't know if I died right now, where I would spend eternity. Not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that? All right. If you're here this morning, you've been saved, not baptized in deep water since you've been saved, invite you to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism right down here to the front. As soon as we give the invitation, one of these men will help you. Or if you want to find out something about church membership, or if you want to be saved, right down to the front. Christian, God spoke to your heart this morning on the home. The Christian home has a cause. You let the Lord have some time to deal with you personally at His old altar this morning. Our Father, bless the invitation. Thank You for Your Word. Speak to us from it this morning. And God, if it slaps us around a little bit, if it steps on our toes, help us just to take it. And God, change for the better. And we'll thank You for it. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, a good song of invitation. You come this morning while we wait. The Christian home has a cause. A generation to come. You come this morning while we wait. If you need to be saved, now's the time to come. If you need to be baptized, now's the time to come. Christian home has a cause.